Morning. It's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation, and thank you for the opportunity to tell you a little bit about what is happening with missions and what is happening because of your faithfulness. Yes, it is up there. Good. And I would encourage you, if you have questions at any time during the presentation, I'll do some slides and some information about what is happening with EMMC Go Mission in the various parts of the ministries. Any kind of question you have, you know, raise your hand or stand up or interrupt me, and I'll try and answer those questions. That's why I'm here. So I'll start with where we came from. And some of you, I don't know if you're old enough to remember that. My father and some other people of that generation so very much remembered the start of the Rune Rider Conference. And what that meant, and how missions was such an important part of that early church. And we want to continue that. And we want to continue that as a family of churches, to keep reaching out, be it here in your neighborhood, be it in Canada, be it internationally. First of all, the missionaries went out with other agencies, and then finally under a self-administered mission board. And that continues. There is a self-administered or an internally EMMC-administered mission board with some missionaries on the field. And then there are a number of missionaries, and you may have them from your conference, that I'm not aware of. There are some, but I don't remember the names. Who would they be? Wes and Carol aren't from here, are they? Wes and Carol? Are there others that are out serving with missions somewhere under another mission? Sorry? John and Sanja in Korea. That's right. And there may be others. And you've had someone here not that long ago, Tracy Wheeler, now Duick, who was at the school that we'll see pictures of in just a few minutes. And the opportunities are as pressing as ever. One of the major fields that EMMC has been involved in is Bolivia. And question, when did that work first start? Ben's thinking. You should know that. Late 60s. Late 60s, the Dave Weebs, who had been working with a different mission, were asked by the EMMC to work at a place called Charovi Clinic. And to some of us, that name is fairly familiar. To some of it may be a new name. Then you need to read the copy of that Search for Renewal book that I've got some copies in the back. Talk to me later. And we've heard a good number of other names that have worked in Bolivia. Jack and Ruth Heppner are familiar. John and Maria Clausen, Sharon Soper, Daryl and Elaine Kaler, Tracy, as I mentioned, and Ben and Lisa Friesen, who are back in Winkler now. Other names over the years have worked in the Bolivia field in various ministries and with various responsibilities. That sort of resulted, that initial work, although it was both with Mennonites and the Spanish people, resulted in a movement to Santa Cruz to work with the Spanish ministries, to work with Spanish believers in a poor part of the city, in toward the south side of the city, and then also spread from there into other areas of Santa Cruz. And that conference has resulted in, or that work has resulted in, the LEAB Conference of Spanish Churches. There's, depending on which month you ask, they have 12 churches or 10 churches or 13 churches and are planting more. Maybe a little like EMMC. One year we have more churches, and next year we have fewer, and next year we have many more. But they have a number of churches in that Santa Cruz area and have been sending workers out into Africa, and also Ruben Mercado, who may have even been in the church here. He's been in southern Manitoba a number of times, has been a missionary with his family in Mexico for 8 years, and they continue that relationship with a group of evangelical churches in Mexico City. But more recently, about the last 6 or 8 years, it's been primarily our work as EMMC Go Mission has been with the Low German Mennonite people. There are between 60 and 80,000, nobody knows exactly sure, but between 60 and 80,000 Low German speaking Plotitsche Minister, in between 60 and 70 colonies, some of them large, some of them small, but many of them quite conservative. And this work is done as Misión Evangélica Menonita, which is our organization in Bolivia, working together with, as a partnership, with the Burgtaler churches out of Lacreed, Alberta. And we work together in various ministries there. So I'll look at some of that ministry, both of the LEAB and of the MEM ministry. There's Bolivia, for some of you who may not have known where it was. It's not in Africa. It's in the middle of South America. And a bigger picture, Santa Cruz, the blue arrow, that's where most of our work has been, in that area, even since the late 60s, in that area, even now with the Low German Mennonites, a little bit east of Santa Cruz, toward Pilon, those areas. Recently, in the last 2 or 3 years, we've started also an outreach into the San Jose, the Chiquitos area, to the colony Nueva Esperanza, a colony of about 4,500 people with a number of families who are believers there. So that's about where the work started. At first, this is a blown-up map. The blue arrow is about where Charovi Clinic would have been, out in the sticks. We're just out on a bad road that you couldn't get to hardly, and that's where some Mennonites were living at that point and the Spanish community. They worked with health care, with Bible studies, and that developed into toward the bottom left-hand corner, toward a work in Santa Cruz. And then, now more recently, the red area, which is the Pilon area. You've heard the name Pilon. Villanueva is there. The RTM, or the Trans World Radio station, is in that area also. So we'll talk a little bit more about all those areas. That little white dot at the end of that yellow arrow is La Fortaleza School. When the John Banmans first started with a school and a church in that area of Santa Cruz, that was right on the edge of town. In the mid-80s, Santa Cruz had about 500,000 people. Today, it's some estimates say it's over 2 million people. So it's grown tremendously. So you can see even the growth past there's the La Fortaleza, and then all the growth past there, and it continues to grow. People are coming from the hill area, the mountain area, coming into the lower region, into Santa Cruz. And Santa Cruz is a very rich city. It's oil, it's banking, it's drugs. There is money there. And so people like to come to that area. So that is the area they chose, right on the edge of town at that point, in the mid-80s. And that is what the lot looks like now. This area is the La Fortaleza Church. This is the clinic where Sharon Soper and other nurses used to work. And this is the school complex. The shaded area, if you remember, in 2012, we had the relay event in Winkler. We were raising funds to help them expand some classroom space. That is the area they were building on. If you look at, I'll talk a little bit about the expansion plans for the future. That little building and that building over there, that's their kindergarten. They house over 100 kids in those two classrooms, in kindergarten classrooms. The big roof is a sports hall, and the front area, the U area here, is the classroom space. This is the original building that the Banmans put up to start the classes, and it has grown since that time. Currently, this past school year, they had over 750 kids in classes from all areas of Santa Cruz. They have 4 or 5 buses that haul kids together to that school. Parents want their kids in this school because they get taught values, they get taught good upbringing, they get taught well in their curriculum. They know that this is a quality school. So the parents pay for the buses to transport their kids to the schools. And Oscar, the director, told me when I was there early last year, said, if we had more room, we'd have more kids. So they're working on some expansion plans. But it's a big ministry. That's the front of the college. That picture is the classroom space. Those classrooms are what the donations paid for, or in part paid for. I think we gave $30,000 or $40,000 to pay in part. And the interesting thing about that is this school has kindergarten through grade 12, and then they encourage kids to go on. Both the design engineer for that project and the project manager were former graduates of La Fortaleza who'd gone on to university, had become professionals, and were now back in a professional environment serving in this way. They are working professionally in Santa Cruz, in other professional projects also. And the school is more and more turning out people who have had a Christian base in their studies and is turning them into professionals who are believers in their communities. And the pastors in our churches that started as a very, very low-income church, the poor are the ones who accept help many times, they are now recognizing that their congregations are changing. They are having doctors and engineers and architects and electricians and contractors in their congregations. It calls for a different type of teaching, calls also for a different type of responsibility. They are no longer subsistence level. They are now at a level where they can certainly input financially into some of their projects, and we'll see some of those in the future. This is their sports hall, and they hope to, in the next 2 or 3 years, put bleachers around the three sides and a stage in the front to offer that as a closed-in sports hall, but also as a performance hall. They want to rent out that space to the neighborhood for neighborhood meetings and neighborhood performances and things like that. So that's happening in LEAB ministry. These are the leaders. Ruben has been in southern Manitoba a couple of times. Aurelio was here. He's the president of the association or the conference. He was here in Winkler last year and reported in a number of churches. And some of these other leaders get together regularly. They try to get together every Thursday morning to spend time in prayer, in working together, in planning. And it's not unusual for my Skype to ring at the office, and Aurelio being there, "Hermano, are you there? Are you there to visit? Are you there? What can we pray for you? Or we are doing this, can you pray for us?" Contact is a little different than it was back in the 60s and 70s and 80s. So the interior of one of the churches, that's a list of activities. This list was up there in May when I was there, and it has activities right up to the end of the year. People have no excuse not to plan to be at events. That's one of their Sunday school wings. That's a church is putting up that wing on its own. There's been no request, no asking for funds from North America so we can do this or do that. They recognize that they have a responsibility and that they have the opportunity to do some of these things themselves. And they do, this building has been under construction for a while. They go as far as they can, and then they have another offering or another fundraiser, and then they go to the next step. And the next step for the LEAB organization is two church plants, one in Barrio Israel. They hope to replicate sort of what happened with La Fortaleza. They've identified a growing suburb. They've identified a major street that will run through that suburb in the future. And they bought now a piece of land right on the edge of that road. They hope to put up a daycare, a clinic, pharmacy facility, and a church building. In an area where they are already meeting, and they are already having meetings 2 or 3 times a week with sometimes up to 60 and 70 people coming. So it's basically a church already. That's in Barrio Israel, a little further out in Santa Cruz, a little further to the south in the city of Santa Cruz. And then in Tarija, that is toward the south side of the country, right next to Argentina, they are looking at... They've been there a number of times, and they're raising funds, and they're looking at supporting a missionary from their conference to go out and do church planting in, first of all, in the city, and then reaching out into the Tarija region around the city in that area. So they are at work reaching out. They are at work planning. They are at work praying, and in some ways they are in a situation like we are sometimes. We make our plans and God directs steps. So some of these plans have been in process for some time, but they are continuing to move forward and wanting to reach out. Then the Low German Mennonite work under MEM, that is an outreach to those people who have asked for help. There are many mission organizations in Bolivia working with the Low German Mennonites. From Avant to E-Free to Transworld Radio to others, and to more Campus Crusade, to smaller organizations, to individuals that feel the call that God wants them to go and minister to this needy group of people. And so they then work in different aspects. You've probably heard of people going in and distributing Bibles into colonies. Our work, we have taken the position that we will work, there's enough work for everybody, but we will work for those people who ask us for help. Those people who have a need and recognize that need and then come and ask us. And so those are the people we work with in Bolivia, Low German ministries, and with specific vision. One is for evangelism, and we do that in a number of ways, in a number of areas. Evangelism is to those people who ask for help and who have needs. Then education. We do that in a couple of areas now too, the Villanueva School, which you'll hear a little bit more about, and also the new San Jose School. And then economic development. In different ways, try and help those people move forward. The Mennonite, conservative Mennonite colonies, by and large, and they're not all that way, but by and large, of the 70 colonies, most of them are quite conservative. That means steel wheels on your tractor, you don't own vehicles, you don't own technology, you don't listen to the radio. You don't is their mantra. And they change "you don't" from maybe 1 month to the next or the next, but "you don't" is very, very well known in people's ears. And so when they come out of that colony, they've always been so strongly directed, this is what you don't do, or this is what you can do only this. When they come out of that, there's the freedom of nobody's telling me what to do or what I can't do. And that creates some problems for those people. What do I do now? And so the economic development, even that is slow, because they come always having just been told what to do and never having taken their own initiative. So subsistence living is all they know, so that's good. So there's no drive, and I'm not saying that there should be drive to much, much more, but to be able to feed yourself and your family and then reach out and help others. And so with some economic development projects that we've tried and we are trying, we are hoping in these three ways to help this people group. So here's the MEM staff, Dave and Lisa Jansen. They're from Lucrete, Alberta. Dave is the field director for MEM, and Lisa does music ministry, Low German music. You may have heard her in Winkler last year, I think it was, and also at other times. She has a couple of CDs out, and she also works with a counseling ministry at Calle 6 de Agosto. 6 de Agosto is the street where, when the Mennonites come from the colonies into Santa Cruz, this is sort of where they congregate. It's Tus. That's in a big city. This is where what they call home. And many of the businesses, the Bolivian businesses, they already know some of the Low German. They can communicate with them. And unfortunately, also, the world is there with their videos and their technology and their alcohol and their other opportunities. But Lisa has set up a counseling center just around the corner from this main place where they are, and works with the people there. And Dave does a lot of the document work, the arranging work, the picking people up at the airport, the making sure that the MEM documentation is accurate and is cleared with the government. Arlie and Eva Peters from the Aylmer Church, EMMC missionaries, and they said to me, sent me a note just the other day and said, And I asked for a couple of people saying, I'm reporting in Glen Cross and I'd like to pass on some greetings or for some prayer requests. And they, among other things that they talk about their work and Arlie's work with the school system and helping other colonies get a school system going that is recognized by the government. Arlie is a very important player or an important person in that liaison between the Bolivian government and the Mennonite colonies. And they say, we have come to love and appreciate the Glen Cross Church very much. Much thanks to them for their prayers and support at different levels. We've reported there several times and they've always shown much interest in the school ministry here. Plus it helps that Tracy's family is at home there. And the Bendy Weebs, who are a retired pastor couple at Glen Cross. Used to be our pastor couple in Aylmer many years ago while Arlie and I were growing up. Special greetings to them all. That's for you. From people that you support. Arlie and Eva. Arlie, we today, in our mission of educating the people, humanly speaking, we can't see us doing it without Arlie. The language, the passion, the education, the training, and the respect, both from the government and the Mennonite colonies. Just tremendous. So pray for that man. Just a lot of pressure. There are thousands, I'd almost say tens of thousands of Mennonite kids who have a bare subsistence education, who know their alphabets, who know the numbers, but the alphabets, they have no idea what it means when they read. They don't know. And they're growing up in today's world, and they're supposed to support a family someday. And Arlie is helping that. Ben and Lisa Friesen just returned in November from, or in early December from being at Villanueva. Lisa was the school administrator along with Arlie and did a lot of the administration for that Villanueva school. And Ben went as a shack bangle. But if you have any idea the gifting that Ben has, he is not a shack bangle. He was project manager for a number of the major projects in that area, a number of the major buildings and ministry centers. He mentored the local men. And even now, I had a meeting with him late last week, and even now he is in contact. Sometimes he says a couple of times a day with one of the men there, Dave, who is running a machine shop. And when Ben tells the story of how he started working with Dave. Dave was a man who waited for the next order. And when he had finished something, he'd finished screwing these bolts on, then he'd sit down and wait for another order. And then Ben would tell him, no, you don't just drink tereré, you go and do this, and then you go and do this, and then you look at this, and then you go and do this, and you plan ahead. And Dave has sort of caught that. And he is one of the few people that Ben has worked with who now is helping the youth in that area, inviting them and saying, you know, come help me put together machinery and stuff like that. Very valuable work. Simon and Edith Peters, he was the interim pastor at the Villanueva Church until recently, and they have some counselor training and are now working with the Guia de Paz Treatment Center, which is a drug and alcohol treatment facility, which is very similar to the one that we know about in Mexico. And they will also be helping Lisa with a counseling facility in Santa Cruz. John and Helen Fraze came recently, just in November. They were pastors at a church, I think it was in Pelly, Saskatchewan. They're EMC people. The MEM organization as such, official partners, are the Burgtaler and the EMMC. Just in the last 2 years, the EMC conference has come along as an associate pastor supplying staff, where the needs are, where they are available, and paying for that staff. So the EMC's portion is not a partnership. The budget money doesn't run through the EMMC budget, but they pay their staff directly, but they work under the banner of MEM, and they are under they report to the field director of MEM. So that's the second of two couples that EMC has there. Bill and Martha Kaler are in San Jose de Chiquitos in the new area where we're working. Bill maybe looks familiar. It's Alan Kaler's brother. And Martha and Lisa Jansen are sisters. So that's they work. Bill was a pastor in the Brooktaller Church in Crete and is now in San Jose. Henry and Caroline Cron are also new from EMC. They were in southern Alberta working with the Mennonite people there and are the host couple to a ministry center that we've put up over the last couple of years. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes. Just to give you a little better idea, don't want to overemphasize this, but the 60 to 70 Mennonite colonies are primarily, you can't even see it. I apologize. I'll go to the next slide. Okay, that's better. You've heard about the bridge that Tracy had to cross, the bridge that the train crossed and the buses crossed and everything. It was a one-way bridge at that point. I think it was the Korean government now came and put a big new modern bridge there, but that's still the bridge. If you want to get to East Bolivia, if you want to get to any of those colonies, you've got to get across this bridge. And then the town of Pailon is a small town just a couple of kilometers inside from the Rio Grande River, just east of the Rio Grande. And then the radio compound, the Transworld radio station compound and the guest house is just around the corner there. And this is all within the bridge to the Transworld radio site is probably 10 or 15 kilometers. So it's all very close together. And then Villa Nueva is that area that was a plot of land was bought by a group of farmers out of Saskatchewan. And they now, this has been developed where, and people live there, people who've been excommunicated and have no other place to go, live there, work there, and we work with them there with the the Villa Nueva school. This is the school that Arlie teaches at and that Lisa would have worked at, and this is the Villa Nueva church. And then that's the Transworld Radio radio's building and the studios. And that's the Guia de Paz Treatment Center, the Drug and Alcohol Treatment Center that is relatively new but is full and is very much needed. Then San Jose, the ministry area, it's the most recent area of ministry in Bolivia. It's about 250 kilometers east of Santa Cruz. And there's a couple of couples there ministering to families who asked for help. Families from a colony of about 4,500 people. And so Bill and Martha Kaler have been moving into that colony with regular meetings and now more recently with a school. The ministry center that we've put up to be sort of a central place for them to meet in San Jose when they come off the colony for their licenses or their doctor's appointments or for shopping and things. Ministry center looks sort of like this. It's also a place where if you would go on a short-term ministry trip to have some Bible studies or to do some teaching or maybe some agricultural help with the people in that colony, you would stay at this place. It's not the Hilton, but it's very, very nice. And there's some suites in there and some dorm rooms, a kitchen, and also then a meeting area under a straw roof. And that's where radio meetings are held. That's where when groups come or special speakers come, this place is advertised and then people come. This was De Friesen's last January when they were in Bolivia. And now some stories about the colony. Steel wheels on a tractor. It can be a brand new John Deere tractor, but it's got steel wheels. And that's the mode of transportation in the colonies. If you want to go to the city of Santa Cruz, well, then you call your taxi driver or you catch the bus. And this is what you do, what the believers do on Sunday nights. After dark, they come together on a yard, and then they have a time of meeting together. And these men don't just sit for 10 or 15 minutes. They will. Bill is talking about, he's explaining a portion of the Bible, and these men are sitting there with their little German Bibles, reading along. And then all of a sudden, one of them will say, "Dort zeigt es in der Schrift." It says that in the Bible. I never knew it said that. And these are people who have grown up in their colony church. But the church services were in High German, and they don't know High German well enough to understand what it means. When they read it in Low German, they know the sounds that the letters make, and they can put the words together, and then they can listen to themselves and say, that's what the Bible says? Low German Bible, very important in that area. So they get together. They have met during the day sometimes, but generally they meet after dark at night so the neighbors can't see who's coming. And they have sometimes groups up to 70 and 80 people. Usually it's somewhat smaller than that. And this family, Peter and Anna Bannman, Peter was insistent over years that somebody come and help them in their colony. He'd been excommunicated a number of years before that, but he was determined to live in the colony to help the people. Severe abuse as a boy, which is very typical, and then now the last couple of years, severe persecution from the leadership and from neighbors and from the other people in the colony. Yet he continues to smile like that. He continues to just bubble with enthusiasm. He's back in Bolivia now learning how to use a laptop computer. He was, when Bill and Martha came to Canada last year for their summer break, he ran the radio station and played songs by request. And when Bill came back, he said, "They chanted him, Ola. They know him. Everybody knows him. He's famous in the colony. Yet people in the colony don't have radios. It's wrong. They don't listen. They don't request songs. They don't have cell phones and stuff. Yet they know Peter, and they know he was on the radio." But he's a very, very key man, brave against the conservatism, against the persecution from the leadership in his colony. So much so that he put up a school earlier last year, and classes started, very simple classes started for some of the kids that hadn't been in school for almost 2 years. They started with classes 3 days a week, and now in fall, or in their school year starts in February, we hope to have classes all day with two teachers, a Spanish teacher and a Low German teacher. The next project is an economic development project with milk machines. So I'll tell you more about that later if you want to know, but there's more to say, and I want to try and get you out of here before lunch or before FASPA. I will. But a lot happening in Bolivia and a lot of excitement there. So pray for those missionaries. They're under a lot of pressure with the needs, with the persecution. There is at times, there have been threats against Bill and Martha, so much so that after some meetings, people come and say, "Don't go down this road on your way back home, go that way," because they're waiting for you there. And you never know what will happen. Low German translation. Last year in Paraguay, there was a conference of Low German, people who were interested in Low German, from radio programs, music, just translation of Sunday school material, and things like that. About 60 people got together and met for 3 days to talk about how we can do this more efficiently so that we don't find out that somebody in Paraguay is translating a Sunday school series on the Beatitudes and somebody in Southern Ontario and somebody in Mexico is doing the very same thing, which has happened. So we want to be a little more conscious of each other's work so that we can be more efficient with the few people that there are who do the translation and the many needs that there are for resources. We go to Winkler Bible Bookshop or any bookstore anywhere, or we go online and we don't even know where to start selecting what the best material would be. Plotich isn't like that. I have a sample of some of the stuff that's out there, but there isn't much more. There is more, but there is not libraries full more. Southern Alberta, again, an outreach that has its opportunities and its challenges. Again, conservative Mennonite people from the south moving into an area, generally poorly educated. The social system, social problems, marital problems, addictions, and so much so that the local agencies in some cases just don't know what to do with them. And so there are a number of churches working with them, in EMC included, and EMMC. We have two congregations, one in Vauxhall with Ben and Tina Fraze. They are still meeting in that little house in the middle, or in the little church in the middle. They squeeze 150 people in there on a Sunday morning, but they're working on a project to expand that, and they feel that the church really has opportunity to grow when they have that building finished. They do need some help. They do need both physical help and some financial help with that, and the conference has provided some, and they are continuing to work, trying to reach more. They are building only as far as they have money, and they hope to be in the building to be able to meet in the sanctuary by sometime this summer or fall. Then Isaac and Lynn Harms working in Dutchess, which is just north of Brooks. They meet in an old United Church building and have a small group that they're meeting with. They are hired by the EMMC, and two of the local churches there have hired them to work specifically with the Low German Mennonite people. And there are other outreach opportunities. Steinreich Bible School, lots of students. Very important ministry in Plautich. Dietrich Harms goes there every year. He'll be there again January to probably April, teaching. There are students from last year, a number of them, I think seven of them from Bolivia. This year, again, a number from Bolivia. Belize, Mexico, Canada, United States, Plautich. And very basic biblical training and training of sharing your faith. John Wall in Veracruz, a Spanish ministry. If you don't like Plautich or don't know Plautich or would like to work in another language, John Wall near Veracruz on the east side of Mexico. He's a member of the Aylmer EMM Church and is reaching out there. Henry Redekop in Shipyard, again with the conservative Mennonite community. Hein Thiessen in Durango, Mexico. Again, schooling and educational opportunities, working with Mexican Mennonite people there, but also with the Bolivian or with the Mexican, Spanish Mexican people in their villages in toward the mountain area. So when you give to EMMC, what happens? You and others give approximately $1 million a year, approximately. About two-thirds of that goes to missions, goes to some of the projects I've talked about, goes to some of the associate missionaries that that you know. About 50% of that two-thirds, so about 300,000, goes to the Bolivia work. Of that, the Burgtaler Church out of Alberta helps us with an equal amount, also $150,000. So about 300,000 goes to the Bolivia work, and there are lots of opportunities. And then the rest goes to Belize, southern Alberta, Mexico, associate missionaries. There's also some church planting. There's money, seed money, for people who feel church planting is something that they need to do, and some other opportunities for the local regions to work with. And now the future, there are lots of opportunities. Spanish, Mexico, Cuba, other areas. The Bolivian LEAB pastors would love to have some exchange people. They would love to send a student here and would love to have some student go and join their youth and join their college and career in Bolivia. Alan Kaler is in Cuba right now, and he is meeting with an Anabaptist church planter there, so there may be opportunities developing there. The trip that happened earlier last year to Bulgaria, to a forgotten people group, the Roma, very, very needy people. First Nations with Midway Christian Leadership, which used to be Continental Missions. And then, we don't have to look far, you go down the streets, you go through your school classrooms, and you see a different group of people than we saw 20 years ago. Our communities are changing, and we don't have to go far to help people. Some areas are doing immigrant or English cafes where these immigrants and people from here get together and talk about the country, talk about jobs, talk about language, learn English, familiarize them with Canada. What an opportunity for we as a Christian community to be involved in and just share who we are as believers and what that can mean to them. They're coming to us. We don't have to go halfway around the world. They're right here. They're next door. And invitations to your home. Those people actually would come. Would probably make us a little uneasy and them a little uneasy, but they would come. I'd like to thank you for this time, and also for continuing to support what we together do in missions. Pray that we would have the right priorities, that we would head in the right directions, that God would open people's hearts who need to be out there working, and also touch hearts of people who need to be here working. I'll read a couple of verses and just say a few things about something that I think affects us all. Out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12, the body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all of its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks or Bolivians or Mexicans, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be a part of the body. And the same for the ear. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And it goes on like that. And if every one of us was a preacher, who would we preach to? Then you'd all want to be up here preaching. Some of us may watch a little football this afternoon. Who's the most important player in a football team? Quarterback, I heard. You know, where would the quarterback be if he didn't have the offensive line and the running backs and the wide receivers? If they were all quarterbacks on a team, how well would the Patriots have done last night? If you would have had 24 or 22 Bradys out there, how well would the team have done? I tried to think about my body. Which is the most useless part? What part would I never miss? And my little toe is what I came up with. You know, why would anybody miss a middle toe? So I did a little research on it, and believe it or not, many people, researchers and whoever they are, in their wisdom say that, you know, it's just a remnant of evolution. It used to be something for grabbing, but since we don't climb trees anymore, we don't need it to grab anymore. They say that. Google it. Google it. Yeah. You know, and in so many millions or billions of years, we won't have a little toe anymore because we don't need it. Then there was a researcher who did a study on hip injuries and pain in hips and legs. And that person found that those people without a little toe had issues that were significantly different than those people who had a little toe. So I'm not quite ready to give up on my little toe yet, even though it may seem insignificant. Now turn that to your congregation here. What part are you? Who are you in this body of believers? It says, because you are not an eye, doesn't say you don't belong to the body. Just because you're not an ear, if everyone was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If everyone was a Peter, where would you guys be? If everyone wanted to be an usher on Sunday morning, who would be there to give money when the offering came? A couple of things to remember about that. And I think this is important for many of us who may have a tendency to say, but I'm not like him, or I can't sing like her, or I can't play piano. Oh, I just can't do anything. Remember what God says in Genesis chapter 1. A couple of years ago, there used to be the saying, God don't make junk. Could have come right from Genesis chapter 1 where he says, and we are made in his image. In his image. What does that mean? There's just sort of some molecules thrown together and, oh, there's a Peter and, oh, there's a Sandra and, oh, there's a Louis. No. This is not an accident. And you are not an accident. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we're God's handiwork. For what? Who knows the verse? Created for? Pardon me? Good works. We are God's handiwork. You, I, your kids are God's handiwork created for good works. Now what are we doing? Are we doing them? Um, Some of you are old enough to remember Randy Moss, who used to be the receiver for the Vikings. He didn't have to apologize for not being a quarterback. He did his job just fine as a wide receiver. If he would have kept saying, I'm here, but I'd really like to be there. I'm going to run for this pass, but man, I could throw it better. I could be a... He wouldn't have done well. And what about you? If you keep saying, man, I can't preach like Peter, that disqualifies me. I'll be cut. You don't get cut from God's team. But you do have a purpose in God's team. And if you're not living up to that purpose, then somebody else has to, God has to use somebody else to take on what you were created to do. We are created for good works, and if we're not doing them, those good works still need to be done. Who's going to do them? In a church situation, it's usually those who are already busy. We give them another task because we know then it'll get done. I encourage you to commit to being what God has made you to be, not something else. He doesn't want you to be something other than what He's created you to be. But I think it's reasonable to say that He has the expectation that you will be that person that He has created you to be. And He will help you be that person. And so how do you do that? Okay, we can't sit on the sidelines, but now how do you not sit on the sidelines? I'd suggest prayer. God is still in the business of hearing and listening and answering. If you don't have personal experience with it, ask somebody else and feel their sense of blessing, of being blessed when God works in their lives. And then seek that. Seek that for yourself. Study His Word. His Word does not return void. It doesn't come back empty. I think we sometimes recognize that some of the time we spend, including watching football, comes back void. At the end of that movie, we say, oh my, I should have gone to bed half an hour ago. And the next morning, we don't remember what it was about. But study His Word, and He will work in and through you. And also as a church, as a family of believers, don't turn down somebody who says, I really appreciated that song. That was so well done. Don't say, oh, well, it's nothing, you know, she can sing better than I can or what. Acknowledge that that may be someone telling you that this could be direction, could be gifting from God. And then use that. Use that for His kingdom. Use that for the fellowship. Use that as an encouragement to others. First Peter 4, verse 10 and 11. Says, each of you has received a gift, and each one should use whatever gift he has received. That is verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. And then it goes on. If you speak, you should speak as one speaking the very words of God. If you serve, you should do it with strength that God provides. So that in all things God may be praised. And that's our ultimate purpose in this life and in us becoming more and more like Him. And I'd encourage you to do that. I thank you for this time, and I'm just most happy to answer any questions you may have. I'll be at the back. There's a display with some books, some material, and if you have any other questions, please come up to me, and also as our conference office, it's in Winnipeg. If you're ever in Winnipeg and need a cup of coffee, that's where you should stop. It's cheaper than Tim Hortons and McDonald's, and it's pretty good, and the company's good too. So stop in, visit us, and it's on St. Anne's Road in the Morrow Gospel Church. If you ring the wrong doorbell, then Martha will send you across the hall to us. So don't think you'll get lost there. But thank you for the opportunity to be here, and I'd encourage you to, even as we start this new year, to examine, you know, what part am I in God's kingdom? Blessings to you.